You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, you had an interesting piece this week talking about something that I think a lot of people, certainly myself included, find a little bit surprising. Conventional wisdom was that Dan Jennings would be the Marlins manager until the end of the year, if that long, and maybe not even that long. You're now getting some impression that maybe we're looking at a little bit longer than that. What's going on with Dan Jennings and his future beyond the next couple of weeks or months?
Yeah, Matthew, about a week ago I was kind of thinking exactly what you just said, and then I started hearing a little bit more and more that this isn't interim, this isn't necessarily to the end of 15, this might be the blueprint going forward in 16 and take it from there. DJ, like Michael Hill, they're signed through 18. You know, the Marlins already signed, you know, Mike Redmond through 17. They dismissed him, of course, last month. And right now, there's a lot in play here, Matthew. It's more than just inexperience or you know, looking for a veteran-type manager or a younger type of guy just a year out of the game who can infuse youthful and enthusiasm to the team. I think you're seeing a weird dynamic, or not a weird, but an interesting dynamic in connecting the organizational thought process from top all the way into the dugout. I think, you know, kind of lost in what happened with Redmond was just kind of just not being on the same page, necessarily the manager and the front office. And here, you know, you're already seeing some lineup constructions done more to the liking of what the front office kind of thought. So, and Dan Jennings, you know, he's, you know, kind of buying in and into the role as well of manager. And he's still, you know, kind of wearing that GM hat, although not in execution, being on the phone every day type of stuff. But he's very much on the same page, the top all the way into the dugout right now.
When you talk about lineup matters, is that specifically about Christian Yelich, or is there other stuff as well?
Yeah. We're talking Yelich, Stanton. You saw, well, Prado just went on the DL today, so that kind of changes things. I mean, you know, Mike Redmond was always big that Echevarria might emerge as a two or a two-hole type of guy. And then they just noticed his splits were just so much better in the eight hole than anywhere else, and so there was kind of a reluctance to move him up in the order, that type of stuff. Although, again, CC Sabathia, lefty, and with Prado on the DL, Echevarria is finding himself lefty in New York, hitting in the two hole. But I don't think ideally that's where they like him. I think, you know, some of the stuff where, you know, Stanton hitting cleanup, Redmond was pretty adamant about him hitting third. Not that he wouldn't be open to sliding him down one, but I think they're kind of looking at some analytics and some of their metrics is saying, look, you know, minus Michael Mort, who's still in the DL, you know, they don't have that real thumper guy right behind Stanton anyway. So might as well just try to, you know, take advantage and bring Yelich's development, speed that up, because they think this guy isn't a stable setter. I think this guy will grow into some power. He's just 23. Let's just get him in the three spot. Hope he sees more fastballs with Stanton behind him and just kind of work it from there. So I just think you're seeing some strategical stuff. I think the back end of the bullpen, you know, going with some bigger power arms, I think some of, you know, their data is showing, you know, a need for that, other than obviously Cech's struggles earlier in the year and the fact that he's throwing 91 to 93. Not really making him the prototypical big arm in the back end of the pen, which I see just pretty much every team having right now. So I just see some stuff in how they use their roster, how they're evaluating. Because keep this in mind too, Matthew, you know, when Jennings was part of putting this roster together, they had a vision what these players can be. And I think that they're kind of trying to coach it to be what they can be without any kind of differences of opinions with a manager who, you know, may not be on the same page as them. That's why I don't see in the offseason like a Dusty Baker, if they go that route with a veteran guy who's going to have his own thought, or like I mentioned before, you know, a, you know, go with a younger, you know, like Redmond was back in 13 when he was brought on board.
Jennings' own mind on this changed at all? I mean, surely he was enthusiastic about the option, but it also seemed like he, you know, certainly had some natural worries and reservations. Is in addition to it sort of working from an organizational perspective, has his view on the situation changed?
Well, this is an interesting thing, too, Matthew. For one, he didn't lobby for this job in no way, shape, or form. And earlier in the year, when some things were getting rough with Mike Redmond, it was Dan Jennings who stood up and convinced Jeffrey Lurie, at least on one occasion, not to move hastily in that regard. Now keep this in mind. Dan Jennings' father is a high school coach. He's 77 now. He's been a coach for 47 years. Coaching has kind of been in his family. He's been around the game. Dan Jennings has a very tight friendship with Bill Parcells, the Hall of Fame football coach, who lives in Palm Beach County and goes to all the spring training games. He's been around these last years more and more coaches who have kind of told him, look, this is managing could be in you. Obviously, he isn't the prototypical, you know, I'm going to be the teaching guy. When Mike Redmond was hired 13, he was brought in to kind of teach and direct. Jennings is more just kind of not the X's and O's, the technical guy that his supporting staff is going to be doing that type of stuff. He's more of the guy that can kind of get the best out of people. That's his managerial trait. So, again, I find it a fascinating storyline if it plays out. I think the way this doesn't play out is if the second half is a complete disaster. But I think that, you know, he bought in to do this more than just as a favor to Jeffrey. He's kind of seeing it as something that have the industry kind of take note if it does indeed kind of play out, because it's going to create that bond between front office and dugout that you don't see, you know, exactly the same way in a lot of other places.
To move to the club on the field, Martin Prado goes on the DL. We'd already known it was probably going to be a week or so. Now we know it's going to be at least 15 days. First of all, what kind of time frame are we looking at? Are they hoping for the minimum, or could it be longer than that?
Yeah, it's a tough one to really get a gauge on. They make a trip up to New York and leave him home and still kind of remain hopeful he could join the team in Cincinnati, which never really made a ton of sense. Martin, just talking to him after the injury, was in a great deal of pain. You could see he was, even the next day, favoring that shoulder. And, you know, he took one of those injections that kind of accelerates the healing process. And, you know, that required, you know, basically 48 hours of no activity. So, you know, he stayed back. I imagine he, you know, they tested the arm either throwing or if he was even up to that. So it's going to be a tricky one. I mean, they obviously are going to be hopeful for 15, but, you know, the longer he's out, then you're talking about having to build him back up. But a big blow for this team at the time they're trying to make the move. And, you know, they're going to need Derek Dietrich to step up. They're going to need Donovan Solano, or if they bring up there, it looks like Jordani Valdez could be on this team very shortly, depending on what's going on with catcher JT Realmuto, who is being bothered by a little bit of a sore back. So, you know, they're going to have to piece it together. Prado's a big part of this team in terms of being a veteran, giving the clutch hits, and it looked like he was starting to heat up too about the time this injury happened. So, if he's out an extended period of time, that's really going to kind of hurt their chances even more, trying to make this a pretty steep uphill climb.
And as far as third base, what are they planning to do while Prado's out?
Yeah, you know, Derek Dietrich's a lefty bat, you know, with power in there, not the slickest fielder. He's going to get a lot of work there. And then you're going to see Donovan Solano. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Valdez been getting the call up as well. And, you know, because he was a little bit more, he's an infielder too, although in AAA has been playing pretty much strictly outfield. So I think you could see three, but Valdez is not yet on the roster, but that transaction could happen in a day or so. So, you know, those are going to be your options in the short term.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.